being excited about living life. Hopefully today can kind of change some of that for you. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that each one of us have ears to hear and the eyes to see. I'm doing something differently today. I'm reading an entire chapter. God help us all. And I'll be reading it out of the Passion Translation. And it has just spoke to me, and I thought it's very, very pertinent. Beautiful. But before we get there, I want you to turn your books, if you will, to the book of Hesitation, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Can you guys turn your books to the book of Hesitation for me, please? Where do you find? You know, I'm here to tell you, there was probably someone or maybe somebody listening going, "Where's it at? Where's it at?" The book of Hesitation is found right after the book of Doubt and right before the book of Fear.
Come on.
Right? You know, but so in the Word of God, there is not the book of Hesitation, correct?
Correct.
In the Word of God, there is not the book of Fear, correct?
Correct.
In the book of God, in the Word of God, there is not the book of Doubt, correct?
Correct.
But I think we write those books every day of our lives at times. Well, I don't know, Lord. I'm afraid. I just feel... Matter of fact, I'm going to read to you. The Lord was just laying down some things. If the book of Hesitation was to be written ever, it might read a certain way. But before I get there, I just want to say this, that a lot of times, if you're confused on the word hesitation, maybe you're writing the book indecision. You ever met anybody who's just afraid to make a decision? It's just like, you know, many times children in school, and as you grow up, if you don't grow through it, and you're in a classroom and somebody says, you know, who's got the answer? And you don't ever raise your hand. Even though when somebody answers it and answers it correctly, you're like, I knew that. But you hesitate. You're indecisive. And all through life, there's people, believers, Christians, children of God, that are hesitating about things and unsure of things. And all of a sudden, the spirit of confusion falls on you. And now, all of a sudden, you're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You're no longer mature in what you used to be because you're so indecisive about what could be. You get caught up in the what ifs instead of the who you are. And these things start to steal your freedom. Are you worthy? Do you have worth and value? Are you free at last? If you're free at last, then it's time to quit writing the book of hesitation. It's time to quit looking for the book of fear or doubt or indecisiveness. These are the things that we have to change. Pastor Weldon last week said that signs and wonders, according to the word, follows believers. But I'm here to tell you, if you're not a believer, or should I say this, if you're indecisive or hesitant about whether or not you're a believer, well, I don't really know if I'm saved. I'm not sure if God really loves me. He may love everybody else. Matter of fact, let's keep going here. This is what, if somebody was to ever write the book of hesitation, this is probably how it would read. Oh, I can't do anything, for fear has gripped me. Indecision is all around me. I'm so confused. The Lord has left me. I am all alone. Nobody cares about me. Why do I even exist? I say this in jest, but I know that this is a reality for people in life. So I'm not sympathetic or empathetic to what I'm saying, but what I'm trying to bring through to everyone here and those that are listening and those that will listen to this is that you are so much more than what I'm saying right now. Because we say these things, and then in turn, what happens is we start to speak death over ourselves instead of life. In Deuteronomy 30:19, the Bible tells us that I have laid all things before you, and heaven and earth as witnesses on this day that you would choose life or death, blessings or curses. And then God goes on to give you the answer. He says, I say choose life. We got to choose life and quit looking at the things that bring death. My heart is filled with doubt. My cup is empty. I am weak, frail, and powerless. Satan, you win every time. That's a lie. Everyone succeeds but me. There is no good in my life, and grief is all I know. I can't do anything right. Besides, no one is perfect. I keep my spot right here. Keep my finger right there so I don't lose my spot. We talk about perfection. Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. you are filled with the Spirit of God. You're filled with the Spirit of God? Raise your hand. Listen to me. The fruit of the Spirit is those nine parts of the fruit: love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, long-suffering. These things, right? These things, I probably missed a couple of them in there, but you know where I'm at. It's in Galatians 5, verse 23 or something like that. But follow me. After it lists the fruit of the Spirit, it says, against such things there is no law. Yeah. Why? Because in the Spirit there is perfection. And we want to walk around going, there's no perfection in my life whatsoever. Listen, when you walk in kindness, you're perfect. When you walk in love, you're perfect. Well, I don't know if it's perfect love. I don't know if it's perfect kindness. Quit reading or writing the book of hesitation. Either it is or it isn't. If you're walking in the Spirit, that's perfection. You need to hear what I'm saying. If you're walking in the Spirit, that's perfection. Outside of the Spirit, that's the flesh and not perfection. There's law against anger and jealousy and wrath. There's law against that. But there's not law against the fruit of the Spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying? Besides, no one's perfect. Stop it. In the Spirit, you are. God is for everyone but me. Drugs and alcohol are my escape because my life is worthless and the pain is too much to hear. I know that will bear witness with someone, but we're better than that. Say it right now. I'm better than that. You're better than that. I am never right. I am always wrong. The thief has taken everything, and I will never get it back. These are all contradictory to the Word of God that you are heirs to. Everything that I was listing just now, they're all contradictory. But many times as believers, we continually will speak things like this over and over ourselves, and the awfulness of parents will speak something like that over their children. And we create generations of issues, and we lose sight of who you really are in God. You live less than that. And the book goes on, etc., etc., etc. You fill in the blanks. In my business training, we have a saying, above the line thinking or below the line thinking. And we think below the line so often. We're always looking at the things that are taking life away from us instead of realizing that we've been given abundant life. Instead of surthriving, I've preached on that before, instead of surthriving in life, we're barely living, barely surviving. We're just getting by. And everything that comes out of our mouth is death and destruction and doom instead of the life that God has given you. Hesitation, doubt, and fear. We read scriptures like this out of Matthew 7, 21 through 23. And scriptures like this bring hesitation, doubt, and fear upon a believer. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the person who does what my Father in heaven wants. Now underline the word want, if you're there, the word want. Many times in life, we're just so consumed with what we want, we never understand or look to what God wants. It says, many will say to me on that day, what day? The day of judgment. Lord, Lord. Before I go any further, when they were speaking, when what Jesus is referring to, these individuals were speaking and they said, Lord, Lord. They were addressing his title. They had no relationship whatsoever. They were just addressing the title. They're standing before Jesus and they're saying, Lord, Lord. And then they're saying, well, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we force demons out and do many miracles? Power and authority in your name? And then he says, I'll tell them publicly, I've never known you. That is the key point right there. So let me bring some clarity if you're hesitant in this. This scripture is talking about somebody who's trying to do things in name only but has no relationship whatsoever with Jesus Christ. Yep. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, do not worry about the scripture. Don't go to bed at night going, Lord, are you going to say you don't know me? Lord, am I not yours? Just because you can play an instrument and get on a worship team doesn't mean you have a relationship. Just because you have eloquent speech and you can preach doesn't mean you have a relationship. The pulpits are filled with pastors all throughout the world who are doubting God and confused on whether or not there truly is a God, but yet they're trying to lead people to the Lord. They probably should be confused and concerned about whether or not they're saved. But listen to what I'm saying. If you have a relationship, don't be hesitant or doubtful or walk in fear over scripture like this. You're born again. You're saved. You're sanctified, set apart for the work of the ministry. You are a different creation. You're not the same you used to be. Stop believing the lie and start believing the truth. Start believing the truth. We talk about confidence. Indecision and hesitation is a lack of confidence. I love this quote. Confidence isn't walking into a room thinking you're better than everyone. It's walking in not having to compare yourself with anyone at all. You don't have to walk in and compare yourself with anyone. Why? Because you're a child of God. If somebody says, who are you? And the first words out of your mouth, or you don't even have it as a thought, I'm a child of God. Rethink some things. Who are you? You know, a lot of times we want to think, all right, so if somebody says, who are you? And I'm like, well, I'm a husband, I'm male, I'm an adult, I'm a father. You know, as a Christian, the first thing that we should come to is, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the Most High. And I know that the attacks will come, but here's the deal. As they come against me with sword and spear, I'd be like King David and say, you come at me with sword and spear, but I come at you at the Lord Almighty. I come at you in the name of Jesus Christ, and no weapon that you have formed against me will prosper in the name of Jesus. Why? Because you know who you are, and you can change your very environment. Ephesians 3, the Passion Translation. This translation is kind of a poetic. It's passionate, right? It's a passionate translation. You can read it out of the King James. You can read it out of New King James. You can read it out of New Living Translation. But the translation is the same. And it talks about how amazingly we have it with God. Is that a word? How amazingly we have it with God? It is now. It's a micism. I am starting at verse 1 of chapter 3 in the book of Ephesians. This is in your Bible. And this is Paul. And listen, he's writing a letter to the church of Ephesus. And he's writing to a bunch of Gentiles, a bunch of non-Jewish individuals. And he's trying to explain to them how awesome they are and how cool it is what they have through God. And so it goes on. Verse 1, and it's titled in my Bible, The Divine Mystery. Beloved friends, because of my love for Jesus Christ, I could stop right there. Because of my love for Jesus Christ. You know, many times, guys, we're confused and we're trying to, you know, we're thinking things like, does God love me? Does God love me? But Paul is writing saying, because of my love, personalize it, because of your love for Jesus Christ. You know, when you love Christ, you will do things that maybe you didn't want to do because you were afraid before. When you love Christ, he changes you. When you love Christ, he gives you a boldness that you never had before. When you love Christ, he gives you a confidence that you didn't have before. Because you then know who you are in Christ. I am now his prisoner. This is Paul. I am now his prisoner for the sake of all who are not Jews. These are Gentiles. So that you will hear the gospel that God has entrusted to me to share with you for the wonderful mystery which I briefly described was given to me by divine revelation. Anybody in here ever had revelation on something? You read something in the Word, and all of a sudden it just jumped out at you, and you got this revelation of what was written. Okay, it was written. You've got this revelation. In other words, it was revealed to you in a way. In other words, the Word became living Word. We know it as Rhema Word, right? It just all of a sudden came to life. So Paul is hoping that what he's writing now is going to be Rhema Word. It's going to be living Word, that it's going to come to life. Because this revelation, he wants it to be our revelation. He wants us to be able to see so clearly what is being said here. It says, so that, here we go, whenever you read it, you will be able to understand my revelation and insight into the secret mystery of the Messiah. And he's saying, listen, this is now a time for us to become a little more awake. This is now a time for us to see the Scripture like we've never seen it before. Because Paul is writing life, life to our very being, a very change that will take place in Jesus' name. And we go on, it says, there has never been a generation that has been given the detailed understanding of the glorious and divine mystery until now. Everybody say, until now. Until now. He, God, he kept it a secret until this generation. I believe this generation. Because the Word doesn't end. It was from the generation where it was revealed here and now continuing to be revealed. Amen? God is revealing it only now to his sacred apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. And here's the secret. The gospel of grace has made you Gentiles, non-Jewish believers, into co-heirs of his promise through your union with him, and you have now become members of his body, one with the anointed one. One with the anointed one. You're a child of God. Amen? I have been made a messenger, Paul is saying, of this wonderful news by the gift of grace. Everybody say, thank you for the grace. Thank you for the grace. This same grace that was given to Paul is the same grace that you now have on you. Do you understand what I'm saying? The same grace that was sown to you through God is the same grace that we can sow to others, no matter how they act, no matter what they look like, no matter their behavior. Do you hear what I'm saying? You've been given grace so that you may be able to sow grace. It is the love of God that changes. It is the love of God that draws. It is the love of God, the goodness of God that brings people unto repentance. It's not your eloquent words. It's not how awesome you are, but it is the grace of God and the grace of God alone. I've been made a messenger of this wonderful news by the gift of grace that works through me. Everybody say, it works through me. Even though I am the least significant of the holy believers, this grace gift was imparted when the manifestation of his power, everybody say his power. His power. What is that? Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came upon Paul, he changed, right? He was the worst of sinners. He was persecuting. He was killing Christians and yet became one of the greatest Christians we know, right? Can God change you? Can God transform you? Matter of fact, it goes on to tell us, right, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that anyone be in Christ, they're a new creation. You're different. You've changed. When his power came upon me, grace alone empowers me so that I can boldly preach this wonderful message to Gentiles, sharing with them the unfading, inexhaustible riches of Christ, which are beyond comprehension. There are things, guys, that you don't have any clue about, me and me as well. God is so much bigger and has so much more in store for his body than what we can even fathom. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than any one of us. Are you hearing me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Don't get caught up in the junk. My passion is to enlighten every person to this divine mystery. It was hidden for ages past until now and kept a secret in the heart of God, the creator of all. The purpose of this was to unveil before every throne and every rank of it. This is very important. This is very important. The purpose, listen to this, the purpose of this. Everybody say the purpose of me. Okay, you got to catch this revelation. The purpose of you was to unveil before every throne and rank of angelic order in the heavenly realm God's full and divine wisdom revealed through the church. Say, I'm the church. Do you hear what I'm saying? This, God is using you. You're the very vehicle, the very vessel to reveal the heavenly truths to all of creation here and the angelic realm as well. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is special. This is a divine purpose. This is a duty upon you that you should wear as a badge of honor. God tells us to be strong and courageous, because of these very reasons. This perfectly wise plan was destined from eternal ages and fulfilled completely in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that now we have boldness through Him. So that right now you have boldness through Him. Right now you're not afraid. Right now you're better than you used to be because of Him. Right now, you are different. Right now, you can make changes in your life. Right now, you can be the very light in someone's darkness. Right now, because of the boldness through Him. I have free access as kings before the Father. You have free access as kings before the Father. Hold on a minute. Stop the presses. Maybe I'm just having a good time with this, but listen, you're a king, which means you have a dominion, which you rule a domain. Do you hear what I'm saying? You rule in a domain as a king, and you have free access anytime you want to go for the very King of Kings. Anytime. Free access as kings before the Father. Today, in praise, we bound the enemy in fetters and chains, and in worship, we laid our crowns down before the glory of God. And He sees that. In this corporate anointing, there's availed much power. We should leave differently. Make a difference. Amen? I'm so caught up, I can't even see anymore. Maybe I'm receiving a healing. Thank you, Jesus. Help me out here. Oh, Lord. I might have to just paraphrase now. All right, give me a minute. I got so excited, I lost my vision. Oh. Because of our complete confidence in Christ's faithfulness. Turn your Bibles to the book of hesitation. Not there, right? Why? Because of our complete confidence in Christ's faithfulness. Because of our complete confidence in Christ's faithfulness, I am not going to hesitate on who I am or what God has a plan for me. I am not going to be doubtful. I am not going to be fearful. I'm going to walk with God every day of my life because I know, according to His word, that He'll never leave me, never forsake me. He is with you always. Faithful. I feel good. Thank you, Jesus. Give me my eyesight back. Is it okay? Can I continue to read? I'm having fun. My dear friends, Paul goes on to say, my dear friends, I pray that you will remain strong and not be discouraged or ashamed by all that I suffer on your behalf, for it is your glory. In other versions, in other translations, it says, because it is for your honor. You know, I could see these non-Jewish believers, these Gentiles, I could see them going, Paul's writing us from prison. Paul's getting beat. He's getting stoned. He's ridiculed. He's locked away in the dungeons. How can God love him? Is that God's love? If that's God's love, I don't want any part of it. And he has to put a note in here. He has to say, my dear friends, I pray. He's making a request to God. Do you hear what I'm saying? I pray that you will remain strong, because you need to be confident, I added that, and not be discouraged or ashamed. Don't allow shame to take you out. Don't allow shame to take you out. It kills people. I'm moving on. It says, this is Paul's prayer. Now Paul goes into prayer for love to overflow. He's already told us that hopefully this is a revelation according to his word, that we are co-heirs, we are joint heirs with all who believe, right? And now he goes on to pray. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. That chokes me up. The perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray, this is my prayer, this should be our prayer. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with the divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, then by constantly believing, then by constantly trusting to, clinging to, adhering to, relying on him, do you hear what I'm saying? The life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. What we have to be rooted in is the love of God. And those roots need to grow deep. And when those roots grow deep, no matter the storm, no matter the test, no matter whatever fury that comes, you will not be uprooted. Strengthen our roots today in Jesus' name. Then you will be, here it goes, then you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude, the astonishing love of Christ, in all its dimensions, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love, how enduring and inclusive it is, endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. So be it, Lord. Never doubt. It goes on, it says, never doubt. Remember, hesitation is right after the book of doubt. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. All this. What? Everything that was just said. Every magnificent part of it. Never doubt, because he can accomplish it in you. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. I got to stop right there for a second. He'll achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. There is no request if you don't make a request. I told you I'm fearful. I got to find a new house because my wife said, man, I think which one you want to be our next one? Not because she's jealous or envious of someone else or because she doesn't think we have enough. No, because she hasn't quit dreaming. She hasn't quit making requests. Infinitely more, greater, above, beyond that you can even imagine. That's my God. That's my God. I lost my place. Whew, that's probably because we got to stay there for a minute. your most unbelievable dream. Let me start this over. More than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. You know how somebody says, I'm on fire for God. I am fired up. That is his energy, man. That is constantly burning in you. Man, fan the flame, guys. Let it energize you. Fan that flame. We come alive. And I close here. We close here. Now, we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church and every generation, that's right now, through Jesus Christ and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen. 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 I just like that. Man, that is a chapter that has me stirred and on fire. If you are ever, family, those listening, if you are ever feeling doubtful, if you're ever depressed, if you're ever wondering, God, why? Man, just turn to Ephesians 3 and just get in there, dive and break it down and look at it and know that you have got so much more availed to you. You just need to reach out and grab it. You just need to go for it. You just need to make your request known. It's not over. Amen? Amen. The church is getting stronger, I believe. Because you, as families in the body of Christ, are getting stronger. Amen? Amen. Your time is now. Let's stand to our feet, close in prayer. Father, I read it, and I read it again because it fills the void and it fills our spirit. And this is a request, Lord. We offer up to you all the glorious praise that rises from every church. Father, I thank you that from Shield of Faith right now, for those that are viewing from home, Father, we are your church. All the churches in this area, Lord, they're not our enemy. We are your church. In every generation, this generation right now, Father, I thank you that you will manifest in this time all of those things that you have laid out in your word, Father. So, Father, thank you that you have not left us as orphans. I pray right now, God, that you would meet each person where they're at right now. That, Father, every desire that they're lagging right now, that they're lacking, Father, that you will fulfill it, Lord. Father, we pray for our family that is unchurched and doesn't know you. I pray that they would have an encounter with you and they would come to know you, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. I pray for the coworker that doesn't know you. I pray for the school child that doesn't know you. I pray for the neighbor right now, Lord, that doesn't know you. Father, may we be the light in the midst of their darkness. And Father, may you manifest the power of who you are to them in Jesus' name. And Father, if there's anyone here, if there's anyone listening who feels like they've backslidden and they're far from you and they've never known you, Father, just press upon them that right now is the right time. There's no time like now. For the rest of their days are already written. So, Father, that this time that they would make you Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of their life. You will forgive them of their sin. You will make them a new creation. You will fill them full of the Holy Spirit. And they will walk and look differently in Jesus' name. Father, bless my brothers and sisters that are here, their families. We thank you for the manifestation of your presence this week, Father God. Father, every broken heart, I thank you that you're mending it right now, that you're transforming the ugly into beautiful, the ugly thoughts. the thoughts that are no good, the thoughts that cause death, you're transforming those right now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak life. I speak life and life more abundantly. We thank you for your word and who you are in this day. And all in agreement said, amen. Thank you, Jesus.